Hello, everyone. I am Martin Nyanzu, and this is the Unsettled Podcast, a podcast for those who are looking for answers. In this episode, we are looking at five lies about the resurrection of Jesus. Before we proceed, I am also excited to announce to us about our Measure Up training event at the invitation of the Youth and Pensa Ministry of the Church of Pentecost in Ohio region. Now, this training session will take place virtually on April 7th from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. We will be looking at how to present our Christian conviction in a hostile culture. You may join us with your youth ministry if you are able. Our goal is and has always been to train 5,000 foot soldiers who will be able to defend their conviction with grace, but always in truth. We will also be having, a Bible study session for Metro City Church in Virginia at their inaugural Deep Dive Discipleship Program. Deep Dive is their new discipleship program they are launching, and they have invited us to open it for them. We'll be looking at the origin and trustworthiness of the Bible. And again, this is a Measure Up event as well, and will take place on April 10th at 7 p.m. Now let's come back to this episode. Because we are in the Passion Week, I want to treat this five lies people have been peddling from the time of the resurrection up to now. So I'm going to take my time to walk through these five, and then I'll talk about how we can respond, because these lies have been unsettling many minds for a very long time. Some have objected the account of the resurrection, but then they have also brought in their own theories. So we want to see how we would respond to these things with respect and gentleness. Here we go. Lie number one: the disciples stole the body of Jesus. Now, this lie, I'm sure you've heard of it before. It's very, very ancient, right from the day of the resurrection up until our day. Now, Matthew 28, 11, 15 shows that while the disciples were on their way after they saw Jesus, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave some of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell the people, his disciples came at night and stole Jesus' body away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story, according to the scriptures, the historical account, as documented in the scriptures, has been spread among the Jews up to this very day. So how would you respond to this charge? Now, the way you respond is this: stolen bodies cannot account for the transformation of the disciples. From the days of the disciples until today, the resurrection account has been the major point of transformation for Christians. And a stolen body is not why people are coming to Christ today. It is rather the power of the resurrection. Also, Paul, who was an enemy of the church and highly educated, was not transformed by a stolen body account. Paul himself was known by leaders as someone who took letters to persecute the church. This is a historical account, and it's a fact. It will be hard to sell the stolen body idea to anybody, considering Paul's transformation. Now let's go to lie number two. Lie number two is that Jesus was buried in the wrong tomb, or he was not even buried in a tomb at all. Now, again, the scriptures I just referenced in Matthew 28, 11 to 15 shows that the elders gave money to the soldiers to lie about the resurrection. So this is an evidence that the elders agreed Jesus was buried. Also, it was a decree that the tomb be sealed. They could not have sealed the wrong tomb. All the gospel writers recorded this historical account for us. Matthew 27:62. At least Matthew records that. After that day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate. Pilate was a historical figure and said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said while he was still alive, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead. And the last fraud will be worse than the first." And Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go make it secure as you can." So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. In addition, the women could not be going to the wrong tomb the entire time to be adding spices to the wrong body. The soldiers who were stationed at the tomb, if they were alive today, will tell you this theory is a lie. Now let's go to line number three. Line number three is this, that Jesus did not die on the cross. He passed out, or even he faked his death. Now the point is that if Jesus faked his death, then he must be alive. This theory is self-contradictory. Again, Paul, who was an enemy of the church, saw the risen Jesus on the road to Damascus. And Paul, a former unbeliever, will not be convinced by this theory. Jesus was not the only one crucified. There were two other people next to him. Mark records in chapter 15:44 of his gospel account that Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And Pilate was surprised to hear about Jesus's early death. And summoning the centurion, Pilate asked him whether he was already dead. Now, Pilate was talking about Jesus. He wanted to find out if Jesus was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that Jesus was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph brought a linen shroud and, taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud and laid him in the tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled the stone against the entrance of the tomb. Now, you may not trust the Bible, but this is a historical fact Mark recorded for us. This account was also recorded in independent, non-biblical historical sources of that day, and most of them are still available today. Let's go to lie number four. Lie number four is that the disciples were hallucinating. They were seeing independent visions that are subjective, and so we cannot believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Again, Paul, who was an enemy of the church and the first person to record anything in the New Testament, recorded that Jesus in 1 Corinthians 15:5, Jesus appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom were still alive, though some had fallen asleep. And then he said he appeared to James, and then to the apostles, a group. Last of all, as to one untimely born, Jesus also appeared to Paul. The point is that scientists are of the view that hallucinations are an individual affair, not a group phenomenon. It is a fact that Jesus appeared to groups of people at different times and places over a period of 40 days. Jesus appeared to some in rooms when they were locked and others on the road whilst they were walking. These experiences, if they were hallucinations, could not be repeated the same way as people allege. No two hallucinations are the same. But the 500, the disciples, and all who saw Jesus gave the same account. In addition, there are factors that precede hallucinations. According to scientists, a person must be high or have a joyful expectation. And certainly, this was not the case of Jesus' friends. They were very much afraid and went even into hiding. They had lost hope. And these two factors, losing hope and being afraid, cannot induce hallucination, at least according to scientists. One must be very ecstatic and very high for them to have hallucinations. And finally, hallucinations are mental conditions that persist for some time. They do not stop all of a sudden. If they actually hallucinated, though they didn't, then it stopped all of a sudden, since they became convinced that Jesus had resurrected and were willing to die for what they believed. The many people Jesus appeared to were alive and could be interviewed, and the event was not made up. Let's go to line number five. Line number five is this, that the resurrection event is a legend or a myth. Again, you go to Paul. There's a reason why historians are interested in Paul, because Paul himself, who was an enemy of the church, testified to the resurrection account because he encountered the risen Jesus. So the account cannot be made up. Those who do not believe in Jesus will often believe in Paul, only because he was not in Jesus' camp at the start of Jesus' ministry. Paul, who was an enemy, crossed carpet. It was not just what Paul said, but he also checked with the other apostles, and they had the same message about Jesus' post-resurrection appearances. The earliest information about the resurrection of Jesus were built up from personal testimonies and not ancient legends. Legends themselves take time to build. However, the resurrection account developed right away from the day of the resurrection itself. Also, myth and legend do not have the power to transform people's lives. Paul stopped killing members of the church. This was not due to a myth or a legend. Myth and legend often do not have evidences to back them up. But the resurrection account has more than enough historical evidence to support it. If Jesus' resurrection occurred historically, and it did, then my question is, who raised Jesus? And what does that tell us about Jesus? I want to leave you with the lyrics of a beautiful hymn by the famous hymnist Isaac Watt, written in 1707. When I survey the wondrous cross, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them through his blood. See, from his head, his hands, and his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did ever such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Have a wonderful Easter. The tomb is empty, but the throne is still occupied. Thank you for joining me on this episode of the Unsettled Podcast. Please remember to join us next time. Kindly subscribe and follow us on all our platforms. We are on social media. We are on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and X. You can also download our Unsettled app from the App Store or Play Store. This podcast is available on all platforms where you listen to your podcast. It will be on YouTube and on our website, liveunsettled.org. I am Martin Nyanzu. Until next time, it's okay to live unsettled. Finding faith is a journey.